Be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So there's a pretty tough word to begin a Sunday morning with, huh? More than a few of you rolled your eyes when that word was spoken, or let out a sharp exhale. It's a challenging word, not only in and of itself, but also alongside all those other incredibly difficult lines preceding it. Those admonitions in the gospel that Jesus' disciples would turn the other cheek, not retaliate. Or that we would give always more than what is asked, and to all who beg. For Jesus' high calls to love one another, one's enemies, even to pray for one's attackers. It is as though the earlier words in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount have not proven challenging enough. Now, a few weeks and only 40-some verses into it, we get this: be perfect. To that, we add in that the lectionary crafters link today's gospel with a section of nothing less than the holiness code from Leviticus. It's enough to make you wish you'd joined the others on the ski retreat this weekend, huh? I know that it was for me, at least for a moment or two. But this is what we have. And of course, we have the two linked together this day, because in the lections, both from Leviticus and Matthew, there is sounded a call of sorts, a similar call, to be like God, perfect, holy. In Leviticus, the call is initiated in God's own voice. You shall be holy. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Time and again, the commands that follow recount the ways God's people shall live in the harvest and in the marketplace, toward one's neighbors and family, toward workers and the poor. And each command is concluded with the refrain, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Each refrain a reminder underscoring that earlier clarifying line, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. In his turn, when speaking in Matthew's gospel account, Jesus gives similar directions for a holy life by continuing the theme we read last week about the righteousness of Jesus' followers exceeding even that of scribes and Pharisees. In today's portion of the text, each example offered takes things up another notch as Jesus presses time and again for a greater righteousness than even the law demands. You've heard it said, but I say to you. Throughout, Jesus is radicalizing the commandments by replacing fairness with forgiveness, an ethnic preference with universal love. He replaces fairness with forgiveness and ethnic preference with universal love. Yet, even with all that love and forgiveness permeating the text, many of us, maybe most of us, struggle not to simply shut down with that two-word summary at the end of the pericope. Be perfect. Be perfect. It's hard to hear, isn't it? It is hard to hear. It's hard to hear, I think, because this instruction generally is received by many of us with profound narrowness regarding the word perfect. All things considered, such seems reasonable enough, especially in this context. Indeed, more often than not around here, calls to perfection these days usually sound like invitations to the utterly impossible. And that's true whether perfection is urged related to the looks and shapes of our bodies, or to some superhuman ability we're supposed to have in order to do it all. Truly, in this epicenter of human achievement that is Boston, Cambridge, I dare say perfection often finds itself understood as the outpacing of all expectations. The outpacing of all expectations, the ideal in learning, research, teaching. As such, it is reasonable enough to hear such a call as something fluctuating between the oppressive and the absurd. And thus, for many of us, perfection sounds like a way of being and doing that lacks nothing. And one way or another, each and every one of us knows we all lack something. We all lack something. In this way, perfect is recognized as being so far, so very far from what and who we are. And thus a call to be perfect sounds all the more terrible, huh? And yet when we are willing to be open to the text before us, rather than overlaying it too quickly with all the burdens of our associations and interpretations, we could find that the urging of Jesus in this passage actually stems not from an idea of constantly besting the next guy or ever improving states of being. Rather, perfect in this case stems from telos, the Greek word for goal, end, or purpose. And as such, the sense of the word is more about becoming what was intended, accomplishing one's God-given purpose in the same way that God constantly reflects God's own nature and purpose. Eugene Peterson's The Message gets closer to the mark, I think, when he translates it, "You are kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity." What a difference that makes, huh? Live out your God-created identity. No longer do the words of Jesus' instruction burden us with a sense of expectation to be or do more than we are. Instead, they call us over and again to aim toward being the people God intends us to be. To be sure, being the people God intends still comes with a tall order for lives marked by God's kingdom values, those radical ways of being for others. Indeed, this understanding of living into our God-intended selves does not diminish the press of those kingdom values that urge us always, always to love one another. Rather, as from the ancient codes in Leviticus right through Jesus' teaching on the Mount, time and again the people of God are instructed toward such holiness of living that we would provide for others, loving neighbors as we would love ourselves. Always, though, we must be clear. We must be clear that none of this is ever in such ways that stand us good before God, perfect like those who get the right score on an exam. Indeed, what we are called to is not about achieving any particular status before God, or anyone else for that matter. Rather, answering these calls is all about living into the freedom of being for others that God first offers. We hear that in Leviticus. "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." We also see that. We see that most clearly in the one who gave himself for us. Jesus, who would bear all that humanity shelled out, loving right through his final breath, and breathing peace then on the other side of the grave. My sisters and brothers, you and I are called to holiness, to perfection, perfection that is a fullness of being. Much is asked of us because much will be done through us. As we consider the greatness of all that, I pray we not give in to despair. Rather, that we would commit ourselves to living out our God-created identities in wonder at the graciousness of God who loves and embraces us no matter what, inviting us to join as we are in service one to another. You who are salt and light, know also that you are the body of Christ in this world of God's deep loving. Be perfect. Receive who you are and become what you have received. Amen.